This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Life is quite the journey. Oh yes, there are many roads to choose from throughout the course of our time here. Each intersection, if we're not careful, along the way, can lead us into one of life's wilderness experiences. Or it can lead us out of that wilderness experience too. But admittedly, there are many opportunities in life, and we are defined by the choices we make with them. We become the sum total of those choices. And sadly, so often, our choices are not good. Too often, those choices lead to life-altering conditions. Let us help you to understand the pathway that leads out of these wilderness experiences of life. Stay with us as we explore this subject on today's program.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bronson James.
Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Armor of God telecast. Tell me, how did you feel when you come out the wilderness? That's the line from a song I learned, well, at least 40-plus years ago. It comes from the idiomatic expression, and grammatically is incorrect. How did you feel when you came out of the wilderness is more correct. But the way it was sung was, how did you feel when you come out the wilderness leaning on the Lord? This was an imagery concocted out of the biblical experience of the children of Israel going through 40 years in the wilderness. Now, wilderness is a term that we don't tend to use unless we're talking about the outback, unless we're talking about some mountain range areas and some forested areas that are not normally visited by people. We tend to think of them as wildernesses. But there is another image I think you should share. Back during the times of the colonies, in particular the puritanical colonies called the Massachusetts colonies, there was a concept they had about the wilderness. Anything west of the coastlines and where towns had been established was viewed as the wilderness. In other words, Ohio was the wilderness, Indiana was the wilderness. Even Pennsylvania, to some extent, or the western part of Pennsylvania, you know, where the Pittsburgh Steelers play, that was called wilderness as well. And wilderness was synonymous with the concept of sin. Sin, wilderness. Wilderness, sin. They were connected together. Now, what the Puritans had in their minds was that if you stay here and locate yourself here where we've established a community, and not go into the wilderness where there are Native Americans, Indians, you know, and then wild animals, and all kinds of things can happen to you in the wilderness. But friends, I have to tell you that every human being will have a wilderness experience. Despite what the ancient puritanical people thought, that you can avoid the wilderness by staying put, no, the wilderness will come to you. Now, before we go further into the program today, let me tell you what we're offering in this program today. a CD entitled Our Wilderness Wandering that I delivered before a live audience this year at the Feast of Tabernacles. It is available to you. It will go into much more detail than I can go into here in this message today. But also, there's a sermon CD by Van Stinson entitled Spiritual Warfare. Spiritual Warfare. Both of these items can be yours absolutely free of charge when you dial 1-888-578-8791 or visit us on our website where you can hit us up there. And that's at www.cgi.org. Or if you choose to call us at our home office during regular business hours, you can reach us at 1-903-939-2929. And as usual, all of the material we offer on this program is absolutely free. And all it takes is a toll-free call or hit us up on our website, and we'll be glad to serve you. Now, continuing with the program today. I said that everyone must experience, have a wilderness experience. You are either going into the wilderness, in the wilderness, or coming out of the wilderness in your life. And wilderness can take many depictions and many characterizations. You could be going through the wilderness of sin in the sense that you are imposed upon by your flesh, by your weaknesses, by your addictions, if you will. It may be sexual addiction. It may be a drug addiction. It may be issues with finance, any number of things. Maybe relationships. You're in a desert place, in a wilderness place in relationships. Whatever the wilderness experience you have, my friends, can be healed, and you can come out of it. And Jesus Christ, our Savior, set us an example of this wilderness experience. Remember, you're either going into the wilderness, in the wilderness, or coming out of the wilderness. Let's examine Jesus' example in Matthew, the 4th chapter, and find out what we can about how he experienced this experience or experienced this circumstance in the wilderness. It says in chapter 4 of Matthew in verse 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now that's interesting. Remember the ancient children of Israel, and I don't have time to share with you those texts, but you find them throughout the Old Testament, especially in dealing with the book of Exodus, all the way through Deuteronomy, when they finally go into the promised land in the book of Joshua. But that whole 40 years in the wilderness, it was a journey that would have taken only 40 days if they had minded their P's and Q's, if they had been obedient, if they hadn't been murmuring, if they hadn't been complaining. And many times we bring the wilderness upon us by our attitudes. And the children of Israel had a very bad attitude, not only towards Moses, their leader, but towards God himself. Why have you brought us out here to die in the wilderness? They would complain. Why, moan, moan. Have you been a person who's moaned and groaned about your circumstance that you say is beyond your control and even castigate God by saying, you know, if God were God, he would move into my circumstance and situation and make it all right, and he hasn't yet. I'm still broke. I'm still poor. I'm still jobless. I'm still mateless. Whatever your circumstances is like a wilderness experience. The children of Israel went through it. And yet God provided for them all through the 40 years in the wilderness, so much so that their clothes and shoes did not wear out. And they were supplied daily with food, except for the Sabbath, but they were supplied double on the Friday of the preparation day throughout the wilderness. So if you think that the wilderness is an end, you must rethink it, because it really is a continuation towards the end. And the end is a good thing, as Jesus is going to show us in our text today. He's led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So you think there is no devil? Well, Jesus shows us in his life that there is a devil, and that the devil takes interest in the lives of followers of Christ. If he took interest in Jesus himself, then he's going to take interest in you, and he's going to meddle in your affairs. But how can you overcome him? But let's look at Jesus and see what he does. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, verse 2 says, and was afterward hungered, when the tempter came to him, he said, this is what Satan said, if you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Wow, that's interesting. Satan is going to appeal first to Jesus' flesh, and that's how he gets to us in our wilderness experience. He appeals to our flesh first, whatever our flesh wants, whether it's to be comfortable, whether it's to be protected, whether it's to be nurtured, pampered, and all of those kinds of things, the flesh cries out. An infant displays this at the early part of their life. How do they display it? Well, it's simple. They cry when they're wet. They cry when they're hungry. They even cry when they're happy, just to mess your life up. But that's how children are. They want their flesh satisfied. They want to be comfortable by all means. Temperature is too high. Temperature is too low. I don't want to have this on. What is it that you're feeding me? I don't want the milk. I want some other food for my belly and all of those kinds of things. That's how children are. That's how the flesh cries out. But Jesus, in being confronted by Satan, responds with Scripture. Have you ever thought about the things that come out of your mouth when you're in the midst of trouble, when you're in the midst of disaster, when you're in the midst of the wilderness wanderings? What comes out of your mouth? Ain't it awful? This is terrible. I've never seen it so bad. I mean, that's what the nation is going through right now. We're in a wilderness experience economically. We're in a wilderness experience emotionally. We're in a wilderness experience, how would I put this, spiritually. We really are. And so we cry and we moan and we complain. But if what comes out of our mouths depict our circumstance, and what we depict by saying, ain't it awful, is it can't get any better. There's no resource beyond our own strength. We must manipulate this. We must change a law there. We must gather together in the White House. We must come together in the Congressional House. We've got to figure it all out. Jesus simply quoted Scripture. When Satan said to him, if you be the Son of God, that's like saying to you and me, if you be a child of God, then you should be able to command that these stones be turned to bread. Jesus responded by saying this, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's an interesting notion. Do you know what the mouth of God says? Do you know what the Word of God depicts for us? If you don't know what is in the Bible, what the promises are, that they are yea and verily, then you won't know what to say when tempted or challenged in your wilderness wanderings, when your emotions get out of whack. Over in the Detroit area, it was not literally in the city of Detroit, but in Highland Park, a suburb surrounded by the city of Detroit, that a man took his 15-year-old son out of the house because the mother of the child, and the father being the mother, but having a daughter being the father of this young man with the mother, also had a daughter by another woman that was being watched by the mother of the boy. And so there was a circumstance where the young man, 15 years old, told his mother, I laid down with my sister, who's 3. Nothing happened, but I need some help. And the father took him out naked in the field next door to the house and shot him in the head. That's a wilderness experience, my friends. That's a situation that is hard to understand. What entered into the man, the father, to destroy his son in such a way? Was Satan lurking about in his mind or influencing him or impacting him? You can explain all the horrific murders that happen in our society, in communities, by people who have trouble in their minds. And they respond in a heinous kind of way. But Jesus responded constructively by quoting the Scripture and saying, you know, the Word of God is what I should live by, not by bread alone. And I'm glad he said alone, because we need some bread. We need some shelter. We need some clothing and so forth. So God does not intend that we not have those, because we are but flesh. But alone is the qualifying term. We must pursue the Word of God to come to understand how we should live. Now, this was a key to Satan. Satan is not a dumb individual, nor his demons. So here's what the devil decided. He said, I'm going to take you up in verse 5 to the holy city, Jerusalem, and I'm going to sit you on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said unto Jesus, if you be the Son of God, he's still following that line of reasoning, just as he would with you if you are a child of God, cast yourself down, for it is written. Here's Satan's sharpness. You see, he knows the scripture better than most of us, and he can quote it better than most of us. In fact, Satan is so versed in the scriptures, the book of James says that the demons believe and tremble. They know that Jesus exists. They know that God exists. They know all of those things that sometimes we have questions about. They believe and tremble, but they will not obey. That's the difference. So when Satan tells Jesus Christ here, cast yourself down, for it is written, he quotes out of the book of Psalms, he says, he shall give his angels charge concerning you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. What's the challenge here? Satan is tempting Jesus Christ to tempt God. Jesus understands this, and so his response is quite interesting. He goes back to the scripture, because there's something that Satan, in quoting the scripture, left out. That's why you have to be careful about ministers like myself and the ministers on the CGI. We just tell you, on the armor of God, check the scriptures out for yourself. Read it for yourself. Don't trust that I have quoted it correctly. Believe what Jesus does say. And Satan is challenged here because he left out a little line from the book of Psalms that he is quoting. It does say that he will give his angels charge over you, but it also says to keep you in all your ways, lest you dash your foot against a stone. But Satan left out that little line in the book of Psalms, out of Psalm 91, verses 11 through 12. That's where you will find the quotation that Satan uses incorrectly. Jesus' response to it is, again, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. That's interesting. That's taken out of the book of Exodus, chapter 19 and verse 1. Don't tempt the Lord your God. Tempting him by jumping off of a high building, tempting him by fasting for 40 days and 40 nights when you're not physically in a position to do so, tempting God by not taking your medication because you say, well, God's going to heal me, tempting him and not having faith to believe that he actually will. There are many ways that we tempt God. We tempt him by the things we do or don't do when we know there are better ways of going about it. But Jesus says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, quoting the scripture. This is the second attempt by Satan to get at him by appealing to Jesus' ego. He appealed to the flesh the first time. Now he's dealing with his ego. Well, let's move on in this passage and see what we can learn from this wilderness experience of Jesus Christ. Again, the devil takes him up to an exceeding high mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Now, that would have included the Roman kingdom, the glory of the Roman Empire, showed him the Greco-Macedonian Empire, showed him the Babylonian Empire, showed him all of these ancient empires and even the empires to come. Because Satan, the Bible says, is the god of this world. He is behind so many of the power brokers that we give obeisance to and we idolize and we worship. We just think that these are the cat's meow, wherever they may be, in whatever nation you may be viewing this program. But we give more credit to human beings than we do to God. And so now Satan, who is the god of this world, empowered in this world, is going to make an appeal to Jesus Christ and to Jesus' power. Here's what he says. Verse 9. All these things I will give to you. All of these kingdoms of the world I will give to you. And you know, there are people who have sold their souls for less than a kingdom. We have a former council member in the city of Detroit where I live who sold her favors for $3,000 for a contract that some people that she was wheeling and dealing for would get, and the contract was for billions. She got $3,000. Wow, that's quite a deal. We have a former mayor of the city of Detroit who relinquished his power, his influence, and his possibilities because he got greedy for money. You all read growing up, didn't you, The Devil and Daniel Webster? Those were real stories. Or Faust, Mephistopheles, and all the operatic presentations about people who sell their soul to the devil. Jesus was tempted to do that, but he prevailed. When we go through our wilderness experiences, my friends, we are tempted to give everything up. As we tape this program, you've all heard of Eldrick Woods. I use Eldrick because most people don't know that's his first name, but I'm speaking of Tiger Woods. What has he lost? What has he given up to sell his soul for a few moments of pleasure? And we can name whole hosts of people in the entertainment world, in the political world, and in the religious world who have gone through their wilderness experiences that have not come out well, at least to this point. But look at Jesus Christ. His response to what Satan is offering him, he's offered him flesh, he's offered him ego, he's offered him power. Jesus says, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Who are you and I serving today? That's my question to you as we are preparing to leave this broadcast for today. Who are you serving? Who do you want to have influence and impact over your life? As I started out in this program saying that you are either entering the wilderness, in the wilderness, or coming out of the wilderness. I don't know where you are in the course of your life, but I am saying to you that you must go through the wilderness experience. If you don't go to the wilderness, it will come to you. And I'm sitting here before you today as an individual who's had wilderness experiences, more than one, but I suggest to you that you can overcome them. You can come out of the wilderness leaning on the Lord, as that old song suggested. But now, as we prepare to leave you for today, two things I want to leave you. What was Jesus contemplating in his wilderness experience? You see, Jesus had just been baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptizer. And as a result of that, he was now preparing to go and begin his ministry. So his mind was deeply entrenched and thinking about what it is he was going to do. Who was going to be a part of his ministry? Who were the people he was going to choose, like his disciples and eventually apostles? Who were these people? And so he went out into the wilderness to get his mind right, to get it together. You and I must sometimes spend time alone with God in the wilderness. Satan is coming. Satan is going to try to get at you in all kinds of ways. It may be through male or female attraction. It may be through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, the things that the Apostle John wrote about in his epistle. Well, whatever your circumstance, you must think like Jesus did. And as it says in verse 17 here, as we continue in Matthew, the fourth chapter, "From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" You see the segue from the wilderness experience, Jesus' experience in preparing himself to go into the world to preach the gospel of repentance for the kingdom of God, not the kingdoms of this world, not what people can offer you, not what politics can bring you, or even religious exigencies can bring you, but what the kingdom can bring to you. Secondly, what are we prepared to do in our wilderness experience? Give up? Many times the children of Israel wanted to give up in the wilderness. God even said to Moses through them, "Get out of my way so I can destroy all of these people because they are a heaviness to me." But Moses intervened, prayed for the people, and God spared them. My point to you today is, if you are in the throes of a wilderness experience, you can come out of the wilderness with great joy, just as the children of Israel eventually did, and just as is depicted throughout the Old Testament, especially in the book of Nehemiah. I encourage you today to know that joy, peace, safety, and prosperity is yours when you come out of the wilderness. Stay tuned now and listen to these words by my colleague.
Wow, what a concept Bronson has presented to all of us on today's program. Life as a wilderness and how it brings forth wilderness experiences. Yeah, he did present it as a metaphor, but I think all of us can identify with how life can be a wilderness and how we do go in and out of wilderness experiences throughout life, because all of us, I think, can attest to the fact that we've been tested and tempted from time to time. I mean, for example, how about drinking, overeating, drugs, prostitution, pornography, or how about business deceit? We've got a lot of that today. Laziness, health issues, maybe an accident, or divorce, and all the losses that are associated with that. I could go on and on about how life is a wilderness, and in some cases, I think we'd even go as far as saying it can be a jungle. But you know, it really is reassuring, is it not, that we have a high priest that has been tempted in all ways as we are, which assures us, therefore, that he can be touched with our problems, our difficulties, our infirmities. We can connect with him. Won't you let us help you to better understand how to connect with him and how to be better prepared in handling life's problems? Dial now, 888-578-8791, and that website there at www.cgi.org, and ask for both of these free offers. Mr. Vance Stinson's one-hour presentation on spiritual warfare, which will help you to better prepare on how to repel some of these attacks, along with Mr. James's presentation, Our Wilderness Wanderings. Both are good additions that will help you to better understand what Mr. James was trying to get across. Friends, this is Bill Watson reminding all of you to keep on that armor of God, as we often remind you, so that you may be able to stand in this evil time.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
Exploring current global conditions along with the latest social trends, the Armor of God asks the question, what are the solutions to our broken world? Right here every week, new perspectives are presented for your consideration by our commentators. The Armor of God challenges you to be vigilant in your outlook and understanding of this world in these tumultuous times. Don't miss this week's program.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.